If you will, turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31, we look to wrap up this chapter in this book, these pithy maxims, these wise words of Solomon to his children, the Lord, our Heavenly Father, speaking to us, his children, wonderful words of life, things about day-to-day living and that we need. We took a look at the first part of this passage in chapter 31, verses 1 through 9, and dealing with wine and drink, strong drink, and such as that. And then we come here to verse number 10, dealing with the virtuous woman. This is in here. This is in here. It's in the Word of God. And I've given you my theory or my supposition about it. And in that, the Lord Jesus Christ is our example, okay? And as men, we have Him as an example. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't married, but He did have His church that He showed His love towards. We'll look at a verse about that that I trust is familiar to you. But we as men have the Lord Jesus Christ as our example in every way, every character, every virtue. The Lord Jesus Christ is the example of that. And He is our example. So as we would consider, and I don't think it's the case with any of the men here in our church, but as we consider this passage, let us not think that we're off the hook, because we've got a tall order in the Lord Jesus Christ to follow and to pattern our lives after His example. But here, I believe that the Lord has put this here for women to give them an example, a guide, a directive that they might understand how they can also be obedient to Christ and the calling and the order that the Lord has for them. And so that's the reason for this. It's not to beat up on women. I've heard this said, you know, the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. Well, that's a tall order. Who can meet it? Well, we all need a goal that's beyond us, don't we? We all need an example that's beyond us. Jesus Christ, we can never arrive at the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ till He makes us perfect. But we are to pursue it. It's great to have an example that's beyond us. I just happened to think of this. What a terrible thing in our land when our land took the notion, and I know we've had men even before that that probably weren't what they were as president, but what a terrible thing when a land chooses a president that has the freedom to vote for a president, a leader, that is not as good as they, and that is not as good as the people. I think that we've entered into that. We entered into that a handful of administrations ago, and that's a subject for another time. There, I got off on politics again. How can you get onto politics from this? But we did it. We need to pray for some things at hand in our state. The ultrasound bill and this thing about the marriage amendment and all that, we need to pray that the Lord will help those that are standing for the truth and what's right. We need to pray that the Lord would cause those things to stand. So verse number 10, the one that's writing here gives this. Are these the words of King Lemuel? Or is this part of what his mother taught him? Or is this otherwise? Are these words of Solomon? We don't exactly know. We know they're in the Word of God, and they're good for us. And we need to heed them. Listen to this. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. And this word virtuous, it doesn't just mean good. Okay, there's more than that that's behind it. I hear that word, have heard that word virtuous, and I think about good and godly in that, and righteous and purity and such as that. Those are the things that come to mind when I would hear this word. But it goes beyond that. It actually means maybe a thing that we wouldn't consider. But here it's talking about this word virtue, virtuous, this virtuous woman, it speaks of valor, of strength, of forces, of might, of power, of being worthy, and some other synonyms that are at hand. I just went down and just ran through a handful of verses, finding some verses in the Scripture, and we'll go through these quickly, just to help us to understand this word virtuous. This virtuousness does not apply to a woman. A man should have this trait too. Okay, we as the Lord's sons and men before the Lord, saved by Him as well as all, should be virtuous also. Okay, not only should we be good and godly and righteous and that, but we need to be these things. Consider this. These are places, these are passages where this word virtuous is rendered another word in the English, but it's the same Hebrew word. In Genesis 47:6, the land of Egypt is before thee, and the best of the land make thy father and brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen let them dwell, and if thou knowest any men of activity is the word, among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. Who's speaking? Pharaoh, right? Pharaoh to Joseph and to his father, I believe, is there. Activity. In Exodus 18:21, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men. Able. Such as fear God. Men of truth, hating covetousness. And place over such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. The leadership in Israel that was beyond Moses, those that would be captains underneath him, was the order, and even his father Jethro had advice along that line in regards to the judges. But the word is able, a synonym for it. Numbers 24, verse 18. And Edom shall be a possession. Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. All right? And some prophecy there about Israel. Valiantly is the word. Deuteronomy 8, verses 17 through 20. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. Wealth is the word. All right? But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Virtuous wealth. That he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. I want to go ahead and read those other verses. That's good for us to remember in our day. But the word here is wealth. Oh, I should only marry, the young men would say, well, I should only marry a wealthy woman. No, it's not talking about what she's got in her purse. It's talking about her value. You know, the passage in Proverbs says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Her ability is above what you can buy. Her power and her ability is beyond that. Joshua 1:14. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, valor is the word, and help them. This is talking about the tribes, half of Manasseh and maybe Reuben and one of the other tribes that wanted to stay east of Jordan. And Moses is saying, oh, wait a minute. The deal is everybody takes the land, then you go home. Said, oh, we'll go help. We'll go first in front of all the rest of the children of Israel, but this is our possession and this is where we want to stay. And the word here, the synonym for virtuous is valor in this case. The story of Ruth. What a blessed account that we have there about Ruth. In Ruth 4:11, and all the people that were in the gate, and the elders said, we are witnesses. Boaz has become he's a kinsman redeemer, and the people are thrilled about it. It's a blessing. The Lord make the woman that has come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily, worthily is the word, in Ephrathah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And so, another synonym there. 1 Samuel 2:4, the bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. Also, the word is strength, another synonym there. 1 Samuel 9:1. Now there was a man of Benjamin, whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorath, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. Right? Speaking about Saul there. 1 Samuel 14:52, the word is power. And 1 Samuel 14:52, and there was sore war against the Philistines all the day of Saul. When Saul saw any strong man or any valiant, He took him unto him. The word there is valiant. A couple more passages. 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. And when the queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions, and she came to Jerusalem with a very great train. Brethren, ladies have always been bringing a lot of luggage. All right, it's always been the case, okay? I can bring my fair amount of luggage too. That just occurred to me. Amen. Yeah, thank you, Brother Doug. But the word is train, okay? There's much about this gal, this virtuous woman. She is able. She has a lot about her. She has learned. She has pursued. She has done. With camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. She had a lot of questions for him, and I got a feeling I'm going to pay for that later on. 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 8, or 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse number 8. And of the Gadites, there were separated themselves unto David into the hold of the wilderness, men of might, the word is might, and men of war fit for battle, that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions, and were as swift as the roes upon the mountains. And the word there is might, might. So this word virtuous is not just speaking about being good and righteous and holy, kind and such as that, but it's more so talking about ability and power and wherewithal and depth and wisdom and such as that. You can't put a price on such a woman. You just can't do it. So, young people, you that are here and not married, be looking for one that is qualified according to what the Lord says. Oh, perfect? No, you won't find perfect. No, look for the leadership of the Lord in it. But look for one that is pursuing, because it's going to have an impact. Going to have an impact on your life. The fellas for the gals for the fellas. Okay, so this virtuousness is a great thing to consider and look for. Okay, let's look at the example here, okay? Let's look at this. Verse 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. He can trust in her, knowing she will not tear down more than he brings in. She'll not pitch out more than he brings in, but he'll be there. She'll be there as a reinforcement. She won't be a waster, but she'll be such that her husband can trust in her. He shall have no need of spoil in that. There won't be a wasting going on there. Verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And there can be any number of ways that can be applied. Faithful. Faithful in every way. Faithful in every need. In the vows we say, in sickness and in health and in riches, and being poor. I've jumped off in there. And in sickness and health, till death do us part. Okay, and I think that's right. Do good and not evil all the days of her life. Verse 13, listen to this. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Well, a lady would say, I can't spin anything. Well, it has to do, you know, there's an element we have inherited the culture of our day, what we do in our day. And so as we take this and bring this forward to our day, spinning and working of wool and flax and such as that, it's not a thing that's common amongst us. It's not a thing that folks necessarily learn. But the thing is she's working willingly. She's doing something. Okay? And maybe one gal is strong at this, and another gal is strong at that. Okay? And we'll see that in here about, but the thing about that aspect of it, it's not saying that every gal's got to be a worker of wool and flax, but she needs to be willing to work willingly. Okay? And find the things that she's good at, and then do well with the things that she's not, and ask the Lord to help and work and find others that are and work with them. She is like the merchant ships, verse 14. She bringeth her food from afar. She's out there shopping, looking for a good deal, looking for a good bargain, considering what's going on. developing a format for her house that works. She's the merchant ships, they would bring different kinds of things from different places from a long way off. And there would be the necessity met in that, and then there would be extras and blessings met in that. There would be quality met in that. And so she's working, she's like the merchant ship, bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens, up early in the morning. Well, I know of brethren that have worked second shift or third shift. And, of course, if there's children, it's one thing. But there's nothing wrong with the woman of the house, the lady of the house, timing her day even with her husband, if her husband would work a different shift. So, see, it's not a necessity that if you don't get up early, you know, before dark in the morning, that things aren't right. If the situation is at hand, and there needs to be a change in that, what's happening is that there's work going at the appropriate time for that household. What's needed? What's needed for that household? Not 12 hours of sleep, but a right amount of sleep. Sometimes, young families, there's no sleep, right? It happens. Sometimes with working hard, there's very little sleep, okay? But what's the necessity? If the necessity is to get up early, then getting up early. And I know that our society is set up with that, but not just sleeping their life away, giving meat to her household, a portion to her maidens. Those are responsible. Those that she's responsible for in her household. She's taking care of that. She's looking to the needs of her family and even of those that would be in the household as workers, or in the context of this day as servants. Taking care of business. Not if they're in the household, that which is her responsibility, she's taken care of. She considereth a field and buyeth it. She's no knucklehead. And she has the trust of her husband to go out and do this. Okay? This gal has the necessity in her home to buy this field and to consider a field and to look at it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. Well, Brother Jim, I'm no good. I understand. I've got the black hand of death. Okay? I'm Clarissa's laborer when it comes to planting things. Okay? Because I just don't get something. It may not, planting things and growing things may not be your deal, but there's other ways to be able to get it and to buy it and to bring it into the house. But this woman, she is about business. She has been entrusted by her husband and to do this work, and he knows about it. But this is within the leeway that she has. She's not a servant in the household, but she is her husband's right-hand woman, right-hand wife. All right? Right there, helping with what is at hand. She considereth the field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. She is about activity. That's her, this particular gal's strong suit. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She gets ready to work and goes at it. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. There's not forgetting about this and didn't get this, and you know, we've got electricity and flipping the switch is easy. But think about, and some of you y'all maybe remember, you're old enough to remember a day where you had to have enough coal oil on hand or enough of this supply or that supply just to keep the lights on at a particular time. She's dealing with all that and thinking about that. Or even the making of candles. Then there's a need for light at night. And so the candle store is getting low. She knows she needs to get the stuff to make the candles. She's looking and tending to what's in the household and what's going on there. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her holds to the distaff. Again, speaking about that working of the wool and the flax and such as that, the weaving of cloth. It's not saying that a woman's got to be a weaver of cloth in our day. But if sowing can benefit your family and you're given to that and you're blessed with that, then you can do very well with that as an example. Maybe sewing's not your thing. Okay? So then you get good at shopping for clothes or such as that. So it's the attention to the household for the benefit of the household. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Verse 20, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. And so there's a consideration for those that are in need, to make them some food, to carry them some stuff. They're having trouble. They're got a big load on them and such as that. She's thinking about those things even beyond her home. Verse 21, she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. You mean I got to dress my family in red? No. No, it's not saying that. It's saying there's a consideration about what do the kids need? What are the clothes that are needed? And she's what does the household need? And that's been prepared for and sought for, bought, made, whatever in advance. So when cold weather comes, there's preparedness. There's preparedness that is there. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. She's done well. She's pursued. She's pursued with what she's been given, and she's done well. And it's reflected in her life. This clothing is silk and purple. It's an honor about her, not a pride, but an honor. She, as it says at the end of this chapter, that she is to receive of the fruit of her hands, of verse number 31. Okay? And this is part of that. She's made good with what the opportunity is, and it's reflected in her life and those things that she has. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She looked for a good man, not a gourd head. You know what a gourd head is, don't you? Empty. Empty up here. She looked for I'm never going to get married. I know it feels that way. It may feel that way. But honor the Lord and look for what He would have for you.
Amen.
Do that. Not just take one that will marry, but follow the criteria of the Lord. As was told me one time, there are worse things than loneliness. And we get out of sync with the Lord, get out of the sync even with, and say, well, I'm not saved, Brother Jim. Say, well, you need to be saved. You do need to be saved. But what you have and where you're at, you look for someone that's in that place. You attend services, you attend church, you look to the Word of God, and you look to morally follow the directive of the Lord in your life and the principles of God. You look there. You look there. And we pray that the Lord will save. Okay? And you need to be saved. But don't sell away tomorrow for something cheap today. Amen? Don't sell away tomorrow for something that's out of line and cheap today. Her husband's known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Well, I've got to marry a leader. No, a responsible man. A responsible man. And that's who she has looked for, a godly man. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. There are things that she makes, but there are those things, her merchandise, right? She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. There may be those things that she's good at, and she sells those. And then there are those things that's not her bailiwick that she buys and brings in. And she works to maximize and to optimize what's at hand. She maketh fine linen, selleth it, verse 24, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing. She can be trusted. And she's a virtuous woman. She's got power. She's got ability. She's got depth. Oh, she may not know how to do everything, but she knows those things she can't do, where to get them. All right? And she works with what she's been given. You know, that's what each one of us are responsible for. Each one of us are responsible for what we've been given by the Lord. We're not responsible for more than that. We're responsible for what the Lord has given us. And the Lord has made us and equipped us and provided for us in the way that He's seen fit. And we need to take that and use that well before Him. Honor Him in it. She delivereth girdles unto the merchant. She's a girdle maker, and she knows how to do that, and she sells those. Strength and honor her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She's not tearing down her house, but she's building up her house. She's an edifier, and there'll be blessing ahead of that. She has listened to the words of Solomon, right? She's taken these things to heart and has applied them to her life. Verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom. Otherwise, she doesn't say anything. Right? You know, she openeth her mouth with wisdom. She's been blessed with wisdom, and she takes that and gives that appropriately. What God says, what the Word of God says, what's the right way to go about a particular thing. Want to know how to make a girdle? She's got wisdom on how to make a girdle. Want to keep your house, your family warm? Want to know how to have food ready for the maidens and that? She knows about that. Want to know about buying a fish? She knows about that. You know, don't we do that in the church? One of us that's been blessed with a talent or ability is asked by another for help in that, but not all of us have everything. It's that way in life. It's a good fellowship thing when we help each other, when we work with one another. It's a blessing from God. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She is kind. It hasn't gone to her head. She's not haughty. She's not proud. She's thankful. And she's kind. She's kind. The Lord has been kind to her, hadn't he? And has blessed her greatly. She looketh well, verse 27, to the ways of her household. She's looking and eateth not the bread of idleness. Oh, she might need to take a rest from working hard, but she's not about being idle. Idleness is not, she's not looking for a way to get out of work, but she's working and doing what needs to be done. Verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed. They know she has done well. They know she's doing well. They know that she's done well for them. Her husband also, he praiseth her. And brethren, we do need to do that. For our wives that do well, we need to praise them. We need to thank them. And we need to thank our Lord for them indeed. Listen to this, verse 29. Many daughters have done virtuously. But this one in particular, in this description here, but thou excellest them all. And what we need to be about, what ladies, what you need to be about, men, what we need to be about is we need to pursue. What has the Lord given us? And let us use that. Let us not let it not be that I moan and groan and fuss and complain about what I don't have. But may I take what the Lord has given me and use that and go as far as I can with the Lord's help and blessing any. Many daughters have done virtuously but thou excellest them all. She is the example for the ladies. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. There are those, and we've seen in this book, where there are women that look to gain the favor of others for their destruction. But this woman, she's got her head down. She's kind. She's virtuous. She is pitiful, and it's not in a bad way, but she considers the poor and their need. Those that need help, she considers them. And she is looking to do what's well and right before the Lord, not to manipulate or work a friendship for the sake of what she can gain. She's looking to do what's right, and she has praise from it. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. It's empty. It's skin deep. It needs. Those things need to be held in their right place. And if one has a beauty. Physical beauty, that's a blessing from the Lord, but it passes because we get old. It happens. It's that way. But that's a blessing. But that needs to be put in its place and held there. That's a thing that's relative to the marriage and such as that. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. She's got inward beauty. Inward beauty. And that makes her beautiful withal, especially to her husband and to her family. She shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Our reputation, we saw it, a little person, their reputation precedes them, right? We saw that in the Proverbs, that even a child is known by his doings. right? Well, so are we. We're known by our what we do, and she is known by her work. She let her own works praise her in the gates, and let it not go to her head, but may she be thankful and to the Lord for it and use it well. May she be a partaker. You know, Solomon speaks about that in the book of Ecclesiastes. About it's a blessing of the Lord to have work and to do it and pursue it and enjoy the fruits of that labor. That's a blessing from God. When I was young, I fussed about work. I didn't like painting the house and cutting the grass. But my attitude needed to be different because it's a blessing from the Lord. What about those children that were my age that couldn't and would have done anything to be able to do those things that I abhorred doing and disliked doing? Don't tell that to my dad, but that's that's a thing. We need to put things in right perspective, don't we? The virtuous woman is the example from the Lord directly unto women in the calling to which He has ordained for them. That's the purpose of this. And like I said earlier, we might think, well, men don't have an example like that. We do. We have it in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's scattered all through the Scriptures. Our in-kind responsibility and directive from the Lord. In this context, the example for men and the calling to which He has ordained us is our Lord Jesus Christ. He became a man and is the example unto men of how to be a man pleasing to God. Amen. Brethren, that's all we've got to do is match the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we would ever... You know, this is here and it's of the Lord and it's right for the ladies, for any lady and any woman, any wife, any mother. But let us not grab a hold of this and saying that this is for them and we have nothing. Because we have a taller order, if you will, even a taller order than that. And we are responsible. Remember what it says in Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives. And that's husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. That's the way it's to be in marriage. We're to love our wives. And the definition of love is, and this is talking about agape love, self-sacrificing love, self-giving love. In Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Ladies, you have a race set before you. Brethren, we have a race set before us in many ways, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For every good and blessed character trait there is, Jesus indeed is the quintessential example, isn't He? Every character trait there is, Jesus is the example. He's the example. You think when the Lord was doing His carpenter work there that was taught to Him by His stepdaddy Joseph, that He just flunkied around? I saw a movie that kind of portrayed that once. Is that it kind of portrayed that Jesus was kind of flunkying around. He did what His ministry and His calling of His Father was first. But don't you know He worked well? He did. He did. We know that that's so. The words of Solomon. We end here, finish up the book of Proverbs. The words of Solomon to his children. The words of our Lord unto us, His children. Proverbs, pithy maxims. May we hide them in our hearts that we not sin against Him. Again, this book contains things about day-to-day living. We won't ever overdose on this book. We need this reminder. We need this in us. We need it. May we hide these in our hearts, hide these words in our hearts, so we not sin against Him, but rather walk humbly with our Lord. Amen. And so, we made it. I know at times you thought maybe we wouldn't make it, but we made it. I think that the Lord has helped me to understand what we need to deal with next. And so, Lord willing, next Wednesday we'll start on that. And and so you pray that the Lord will help us and bless us in it. And we just might remember these things and read it, feed upon it, consume it, put it in us. Again, in my mind, and the way I consider the scriptures, this book of Proverbs ties right in also with what we see in Ecclesiastes. Also ties right in with the Sermon on the Mount. And so those are in kind type of scripture for day-to-day living. So I encourage you to read that, listen to it, feed on it, and hear the word of the Lord. If you're here and you're not saved, you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, even the man, woman, boy, or girl that's without Christ is called upon the Lord to obey Him. You know, there are those that kind of think or kind of, I've known some that believe that they've, since they're not saved, they're not responsible. And even in churches that preach and teach and the truth of the sovereignty of God and about the doctrines of grace and such as that, kind of it can be conveyed by those in the midst maybe that are not saved that they're, you know, it's God that's doing the electing, it's God that's doing the moving, it's God that's doing the saving. Therefore, until God does something, I'm off the hook. No, you're not off the hook, because go against the moral precepts of this word and you've got nothing but trouble. But obey the moral precept of this word, it won't save you, but your life will be blessed and you'll be saved from trouble and issue that Brother Solomon has preached to us about. But the thing is, the moral law cannot save you because you can't keep it. And even if you could start today keeping it, you've got your past that you can't do a thing about. There's where the Lord Jesus Christ comes in. You need Him that kept the law perfectly, not only morally, but ceremonially and sacrificially. And He did it to save sinners, not for Himself. But He came and became a man just like us and kept it, so that it might be imputed unto others. You need the Lord. And the command of the Lord is to repent and believe the gospel. First words that are counted in the gospels that the Lord Jesus Christ came preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent before God, it's before the Lord, not before me, not before the church, but before God Almighty, who's there, He's omnipresent, He's everywhere. Repent before Him, to Him, that you are a wicked, guilty sinner. You deserve to go to hell. And then trust in His Son, the Lord Jesus that came and became a man, was without even the thought of sin, and then gave His life on the cross of Calvary, was buried and rose again, so that a sinner like you can be saved. Repent of your sins and trust in Jesus. Salvation's in a man. And salvation is of the Lord. And the command is to repent and believe.